Everybody, we are here at John Boy Media Studios after witnessing Teofimo Lopez turn back the hands of time, the take back, the takeover. He defeats Josh Taylor at Madison Square Garden. We were literally there ringside. We ran through the rain to get here. Dan Canobio, alongside who I think is Chris Algieri, or the artist formerly known as Chris Algieri. What a get up. Awesome night. Teofimo Lopez does the damn thing. Ronnie is here too. Brave the elements. Got a sprained ankle. What a fight. Holy shit. Teofimo Lopez is back.
No, what a fight. What a performance.
Yes.
I mean, Teofimo Lopez, you say turn back the hands of time. The kid's like 25. It's like, but.
Tongue in cheek. From 2 years ago.
He just turned back all the fucking haters. And that's the most impressive thing they did tonight, because no one was picking him to win this fight, myself included. I have never been so happy to be proven wrong. He went out there. He fought a brilliant fight. He was in charge immediately. I mean, Josh came out very strong, and Teo did not waver at all. Set to his game plan, had a very smart game plan. Set a pace that he could control everything going on, and he did. And he was able to hurt Taylor. Teofimo's chin at 140 is phenomenal.
Really impressed with the chin.
Really, really big shots.
Yep.
Walked right through them, and had Taylor hesitant, gun shy. Not knowing what to do next. It was not only a beating, but a boxing lesson.
Yeah.
By Teofimo to Taylor. I am utterly impressed with this kid. We have a new player at 140. And
yeah,
I'm excited for all the big fights that can happen with Teofimo Lopez coming forward.
Just to toot my own horn, he said no one saw this coming. I picked Teofimo Lopez in my parlay. I also had Sonny Edwards. I am rich. No. It's not about me.
Would you make $148?
$148. I am rich. Damn it. Everyone is getting lunch on Monday. Quickly, before we get into what's next for Teofimo in the fight, I want to thank everyone that came out to our pre-fight party at Jack Doyle's. Zilhai Zhang was there. Dimitri Bivol was there. Some of your friends were there.
Veronica Jeffries.
Yes.
IBF world, female world champion.
It was an awesome turnout. We're going to do a lot more of that. It was great to see our community come out and be as one to take in a pregame and go to the fight. That was an awesome, awesome time. Whoever didn't come, you got to get tickets for the next one, because we're going to keep doing this. It was awesome.
So I think I spoke to Paul Manaji about it. He wanted to come tonight. He's actually working tonight, but he said, oh, it's like a boxing tailgate party. Mm-hmm. And I said, yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yep.
And we've never had that. So we're creating events leading up to fights and around fights. Boxing needs that to be treated like another sport. So, I mean, every other sport has these events. Now we do too.
Teofimo Lopez gets the win. He outlands Josh Taylor 158-82. I personally had it 9 rounds to 3, maybe even 10 rounds to 2. I think the first round was the closest round of the fight. Actually, Taylor outlanded Lopez in that one, in the second round. But then after that, it was all Teofimo. I was impressed with Teofimo's chin. I was impressed with his composure. Mm-hmm. And to be impressed with the words Teofimo and composure next to each other, or something that was not happening for this kid in the last couple of months. We know everything that's going on in his personal life. We saw that ESPN segment with Kriegel that was downright disturbing. The stuff with him and his dad talking about how he wanted to die, talking about how he wanted to kill Josh Taylor. A lot of chaos swirling around his camp. But tonight, he was composed. Tonight, he had a game plan. He executed it. He was just faster. He fought on the inside. He fought from the outside. He had, like I said, with the great chin. He put together a complete performance, something that many didn't think he could do, to beat, arguably, people were telling me for the last week or two that Josh Taylor is the best 140-pounder. Now you have a discussion of Teofimo Lopez up there with Progre, Subriel Matias, and some of the other guys. He established himself. It's good for boxing, good for Teofimo Lopez, just like that. Boom. As quickly as it can all go away, like we saw with Cambosos, right back into the driver's seat, and this guy's a player at 140, and he's only 24, 25 years old.
You said the keyword, chaos. This kid thrives in chaos. I've worked fight weeks with Teofimo Lopez with Top Rank and Las Vegas leading up to the Lomachenko fight and multiple other fights as well. I mean, he's so up and down fight week. He says all these crazy things. He's almost manic in terms of how he is dealing with the pressures of fight week, because fight week pressures are insane. But the kid dials it in, and he pulls out a performance like he did tonight, similar to how he was with Lomachenko. He was disciplined for 12 rounds against Lomachenko. He was disciplined for 12 rounds tonight, in which case, I had said that. He needs to be disciplined for 12 rounds in order to win this fight, and he 100% did that. He was just a better fighter in every way. You said
crazy.
He was faster. No, he had a better game plan. He outfought him. He outpunched him. He was smoother. He was slicker. He was smarter. He was more dominant. He was more aggressive. He was every aspect. He was ahead of Josh Taylor tonight, and that is super impressive because, like you said, Josh Taylor, a lot of people thought was the best 140 pounder in the world.
I think it was arguable, like it was like a 1A, 1B, him and Progre. Like Progre had fought more recently.
Didn't think so. I thought Taylor was way ahead because I know a lot of people thought the fight was really, really close. I didn't. I thought Taylor out-bullied the bully.
In terms of the fact that Taylor just hadn't fought in 16 months, had the Catterall performance, Progre put together some wins. So it was back and forth between who was number one at 140.
Yeah, but wins against who? Progre hasn't really fought anybody recently.
He beat Pedraza, who did he beat to win the title? It's late. He beat your guy at 140 that you sparred all the time. Whatever.
Oh, Zepeda.
Zepeda.
Yeah, but I mean, Zepeda's long in the tooth. I don't think he was ever the same at the Baranchek fight. He had that first round knockout of Josue, but then Josue got knocked out by Dakota Linger.
Right. Point being is at the top, it was Taylor and Progre. And I think Progre right now is the guy at 140.
I want to see Tio and
Tio Progre. That's what I want to talk
about
next.
I said that around six. I was like, I want to see.
It's funny, man. We're sitting there ringside, and we're like.
I knew the fight was over.
Right. First six. It's crazy to sit next to you for a live fight. I love that. And we're sitting there like, wow, okay, Taylor's coming out aggressive round one. Okay, well, shit. Tio was landing some counters.
Yeah.
Oh, Tio's taking over. Third, fourth round, fifth round. Tio's landing a lot of shots. By the sixth round, me and Chris are like, all right, so who's next for Teofimo Lopez? Like, we're looking at Haney. We're looking at Progre. We're looking at Subiru Matias. We're looking at maybe a fight with Tank. Obviously, that's pretty far-fetched, but that's how fast it changes in boxing, and that's how one-sided the fight was starting to look, especially ringside. So let's talk about what's next for Teofimo Lopez. Obviously, I don't know his deal with Top Rank. Pretty sure he's still with them. He could say otherwise, but I'm quite certain that he's still with Top Rank. So at 140, Devin Haney is a free agent. But he, as we know, he wants to explore all his options. Devin Haney's options are Regis Progre at Matchroom, staying at 135 and fighting Lomachenko, a rematch. That's probably unlikely. Staying at 135 and fighting Shakur. Moving up to 140 and exploring there. If he wants to move up to 140 and stay within the Top Rank family, a Haney Teofimo fight is right there for the making. These two have a history. They do not like each other. They were supposed to fight at 135. Bring me Haney, Lomachenko, ESPN pay-per-view either late this year or early next year.
I have a feeling everyone's going to stay in-house, at least for the next fight.
What does that in-house mean?
So if Teo stays at Top Rank, he's going to get like a Barbosa.
Finally, for him, for Barbosa's sake.
Right.
Is Barbosa still with Top Rank? I have a hard time keeping up with all this stuff. But.
Yeah, I mean, me too. As far as I know, maybe not. But I could see that fight. I could see that fight happening because Barbosa's been harping on it for a long time. Teofimo could use a fight, a step down from having a mega fight the way he had just now. And I think Haney's going to not jump right into a massive fight at 40. I think that we're looking at the winner of Love and Hitchens. Hitchinson?
Yeah, but that means that Haney's going to Matchroom.
Yeah, I mean, if he stays, that's what I mean. If everything is going the way looks like it's going to go, then if everybody stays in house, that makes sense. Listen, I know you are Dan the Optimist, and you always like want the best fights, and you want Haney to fight Progre
right
next.
Right, I'm looking for the biggest fights. I mean, that's what we all want. I mean, boxing's giving us big fights, month after month, so I think it's good for us to dream big.
Yeah, dream big would be great, but there's marination processes that have to happen, especially with these promoters involved that want to try and get the most money out of these guys. And listen, the fighters deserve the most money as well. But... yeah, I don't know. It's weird. The map has changed so much.
140. It's an interesting division. It's a lot of movement. Wild. It's like Taylor has now lost his belt, so he's out of the picture at least for the time. One belt.
He got stripped of all the others.
Right. Progre has WBC. Subiru Matias has one of the other belts. So that leaves you take a look around at the other some of the other fighters. Yeah, I got Jose Ramirez who's still lingering. I could see Teofimo staying at 140, maybe fighting Jose Ramirez. Jack Catterall has signed with Matchroom. Arnold Barboza. There's Jose Zepeda. There's Gary Antoine Russell. Like, those aren't attractive names. Like, no offense to those guys. Like, Teofimo should seize on this. And that's why, I know that Top Rank is going to sit down with Haney and say, listen, this is what we can offer you. Bob Arum already told us last week we can offer you a Lomachenko rematch. We can offer you a fight at 140 with Teofimo Lopez. who now is a world title holder.
Yes.
Or we can try to offer you a fight at 135 with Shakur. If you were Devin Haney, what would you do?
If I'm Devin Haney, I don't think I have the ability to stay at 35. If I'm Devin Haney, if I can make 35, I'm fighting Loma again. Because I think I beat him this time.
I don't think that's going to happen, though.
I don't think so either. So that's probably the least possible thing that's going to happen. I think that he's going to move up, and I think he's going to look for to. I think he's going to look to have like a get your feet kind of wet kind of fight at 140. You know, with one of those guys, like I said, like the Love Hitchens winner,
right.
Or like or, you know, whatever. But I feel like for Lopez getting the Barbosa fight, who's got a sterling record with the kids, like 28-0. You know, like. If you're going to fight a step-down fight, at least the guy – at least
28-0 with 10 knockouts.
Yeah, at least the guy has to have a good record. And the guy's career, good record.
Like, I'm not opposed to that. I think that's, like, the ideal plan. Or I think that's, like, the most logical plan. Like, Teofimo, he's going to sit out for a little bit. That was a grueling fight. He took a lot of punishment.
Hard training.
Yeah, training camps, chaos in his life. He said after the fight that my biggest battle next is in the court because I want to get my son back. Oof. Which is
that's a tougher fight than the fight he had tonight.
A very heavy statement there from Teofimo. So let's say he comes back at the end of the year and he gets a defense of his title. We figure out what Haney is going to do. You figure out what some of the guys at 135 want to do. Matias is with, I don't even know who Matias is with. Like, I think he's a free agent.
He's
like,
a dangerous guy.
Like, no one wants to fight that guy because he's the old.
I want to see Pro-Gray Matias. I think that's fireworks.
Firefight. The thing with Matias is like the old Golovkin thing or like the guy, it's like, it's low reward, high risk.
Yeah.
Like, it's, he's a great fighter, but he has zero profile, Subriel Matias. Jose
but
Ramirez.
He also got beat by like a total rando. Like.
And he avenged it, but yeah. But
still.
Right, I know. But he's still impressive. He's got 19 knockouts, 19 wins. Jose Ramirez is intriguing. I'm pretty sure
Jose
he's still
Ramirez
with Top Rank.
Is a bad dude.
Jose Ramirez versus Teofimo, like, that's a fun fight.
That's a fun fight. I think Tio is head and shoulders in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
But Ramirez, his doggedness, his he's very technical for a guy who he looks like kind of like a tall Mexican, but like he's very technically sound. He's one of those guys like he's going to do everything right all the time.
Right.
Tio's one of those guys who beats guys like that because he's so fluid and picks his spots. Dude, we talk about his rhythm. Second round, he catches his rhythm with Josh
Sick,
tonight,
bro.
And I was like, oop, this fight just changed.
That was awesome to watch in the ring and look over to you to see your reaction. Like, he looked it's crazy to say vintage, which is nuts because he's 24.
Man.
He looked like the Teofimo that we watched climb the ranks when we were like, wow, this kid is just – he's just – an entertainer.
Yep.
You know, he's in there doing things we haven't seen before. He's so fluid. He's having fun. He was kind of like clowning Taylor at times, which is insane to think about heading into this fight. And it's just awesome to see. You know, the kid has gone through so much. And he's one of the fighters that I got to know when he was like 15-0, 16-0. And none of it is by his own doing. Yes, like he's got a lot on the outside. We're seeing his relationship with his dad. We're seeing that with his wife. Like, yes, some of that is to put the blame on him, but a lot, he's dealing with a lot of things for a 24-year-old. To me, it was nice to see him have that moment. And from what I'm seeing on Twitter and some of the reactions, like, people are excited to see Teofimo back. People love a comeback.
I have a different take on Teofimo. I'm a huge Teofimo fan. He's literally my favorite current fighter to call a fight.
Awesome.
I've called many of his fights for Top Rank and for ESPN, and he's my favorite fighter to call because not only is what he does a beautiful thing to watch, and I am very into the nuances of his style and the things that he does that maybe that people don't see. I love the fact that he finds his rhythm. He's a rhythm fighter just like I was, but he just does it in such a dynamic way. He's so explosive. He's rhythmic and he's smooth, but he's also explosive and violent. I always say when he finds his rhythm with his shoulders and his counter punching, it's a beautiful thing to see. But also, like, he's so chaotic and so wild in terms of his personality. And then there's the flip side that he's such a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's such a nice kid. He's a really, really nice person. So dealing with that, my fight week with him is always so great because I get to like talk to him personally, and then I see all the crazy interviews, and then I see him fight, and then he puts it together. I'm just like, man.
Dude, it's nuts, man. It's absolutely
wild. It's a movie every time.
That's
every
why
week.
People are intrigued by him. Like, he might not sell a lot of tickets. There were more Josh Taylor fans in his own hometown, there were fans for Teofimo, but at the end of the night, it was loud for Teofimo. He is intriguing because his life is an open book, and people love that. They love to watch someone who's going through it. They love to see someone that can overcome it, like tonight. So there'll be a lot more eyeballs on Teofimo. I said it. He had a golden opportunity on our pre-fight show. He's a golden opportunity to reset his career and fix it now. Let's see what he does with it.
How did that guy lose to Kambosos?
Like you said, he fights him 100 times. He beats him 99 to 100 times.
How did he lose to Kambosos?
Worst night of his life.
Crazy.
Absolutely. So what I want to see next for Teofimo are big fights. I think Haney is the natural big one at 140 if Haney decides to go up there.
It's a cool fight.
Teofimo Progre, obviously, is the one to make between guys that are actually at 140 pounds. Super Martinez, like we said, we don't know what the hell that guy's doing. I would love to see him fight. And then there's guys like Jose Ramirez and Barboza, Catterall, lingering. Gary Antoine Russell with the PBC, that's never going to happen. How about Josh Taylor quickly? Where does he go from here, man? 16 months off, looked every bit of that. You know, like the injuries, the poor performance from Catterall. He just got nothing going, man. What do you throw, like 25, 28 punches around? Like nothing. I was shocked. Honestly, I was as impressed as I was by Teofimo, I was a little bit shocked by how Josh just didn't give anything.
And he looked flat. It's hard for me not to blame the weight. You know, he could have just got shut down by a superior boxer, which is very, very possible. But he did come on late, so maybe it wasn't the way. I don't know. Maybe he was just completely shut out by T.O.'s rhythm and his ability. But I don't know. The way he was taking those shots and how he was reacting to them, and he's never been that guy. You know, like, he fought Progre and Ramirez, both big punchers at 40. Took those shots, no problem. T.O. had him wobbled multiple times all night long.
Do you think that his corner should have threw in the towel? Because
I know you said that. I didn't see a reason for that. Sure, he was on wobbly legs and weak legs, whatever. But what were the final scores?
I thought it was, I had it 10-2, 9-3. Some two judges had it 115, 113. I don't know what they were watching.
So exactly. So yeah, no, throwing in the towel on a fight that turned out to be close on the scorecards, which is insane. True. I had a 10-2 for T.O.
He took a beating. Taylor.
Yeah, sure, but like I don't think there was ever a point where you could be like, we need to stop this fight. Like he would have.
Okay, but what's next for him? Like maybe explore that Catterall rematch. That's an easy way to kind of get back and right
if
or wrong.
He wants to make 40 again.
This is the thing. I was talking to someone with Top Rank, and they're like, Taylor has got to stay at 140 because he's not getting Spence, he's not getting Crawford.
Yeah.
And who else is at 147? He's not getting Virgil Ortiz, he's not getting Stanny Onis.
I also don't think he beats any of those guys.
Right. So he's not going to maybe not beat them. He's also definitely not going to get them. So his fights are at 140. There's Catterall for him. There's ways for him to get back. He is 32 years old and come up with a flat performance. So it's interesting to see what Taylor will do after the fight.
Does anyone care about Catterall besides him and Catterall?
Well, that's the reason I think he never fought Catterall. Because listen, I'm 32. Like I'm going for Teofimo. I'm going for big fights.
Oh, listen, I didn't knock him. Like listen, as a warrior, I'm like, oh, come on, dude, you got. But also, I'm like, no, fight. When the Teofimo fight came up, and they were like, and we talked about it. Oh, what about Jack Catterall? I feel bad for Jack Catterall, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, I get it. You're making way more money and a bigger exposure. You're fighting in the Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I got it, but.
I mentioned how I won my parlay. This episode is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. We just watched a great UFC fight tonight. We have baseball going. We have all sorts of sports. NBA Finals is still going on. So the DraftKings Sportsbook app is the way to go. I made myself rich tonight by doing my parlay. You too can do that by just betting $5, and you can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you use code IBL only on the DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Massachusetts, call 800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 888-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Kansas, call 1-800-552-4700 on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus in most eligible states, but ages vary by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Opt-in and a 10-plus leg required 100% boost. Eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions apply. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/baseball terms. We have to read that now.
Wow.
That was a lot. I've probably talked today and socialized more than I ever have in my life. Our party was awesome because I got to go out and talk to our community.
We had
talk to
70 people.
70 plus deep at Jack Doyle's. People that told me they've been listening since day one. People that said, I love your show. I love you and Chris. Once Chris came on, I jumped on. Love that. So what a day. Ronnie, do you even have a mic? Yeah. Ronnie is the MVP.
Ronnie twisted his ankle
today playing pickup basketball.
I did.
Called me around.
I had to dig deep.
He called me around 2:30, 3 o'clock, sounding like he wasn't going to come. Wasn't going to come to the party. Wasn't going to come to the fight. Never been to a fight, a live fight before.
We should show the texts. We should post the text.
He called me. I sounded like he was down. I said, Ronnie, find a way.
Well, apparently a bunch of people went down.
A bunch of guys went down at John Boy. It was a basketball game gone wrong.
It was like a sniper was outside just shooting us down.
But Ronnie made it. You should have seen him walking through the streets from us to get from MSG to the studio. He was doing some skip and a hop to help his ankle.
That's actually how I found these guys. I went to my hotel first to grab some things, and I saw a mohawked man doing a hop, skip, and a jump.
Whatever he needed. We're here, and he's producing this show for us and everyone out there. True. What did you think of your first fight night?
Oh, it was electric. Like everything you guys have said, it was true. I mean, the walk-in, the crowd was outstanding. And, like, they really got on Teal's side quickly because, I mean, Teal just looked so good. And the main fight was so much better than that.
That's usually how it goes.
It was so funny. Second. You were like, wow, these guys are like way – this fight's like way better. I'm like, yeah, this is what main events are.
I was like, right. Yeah, the co-main Xander Zayas was a great performance, but he kind of lingered.
This is amazing.
I always say that. Like, it's amazing how the boxing undercards are notoriously bad. It's amazing how they go from bad and, like, low energy, and it ratchets up to an insane level so quick.
It was like pulling teeth in the co-main event. Yeah. I was just like, all right, like, this is only the third round. But we were getting through rounds in the main event. It was round five,
and you're like, it's already round five?
Yeah,
like,
that's the thing. You almost wanted to slow down.
Fights are.
You almost wanted to slow down because you're enjoying it so much, the main events. But you had all great night. And who would you like to see Teofimo fight next?
Haney.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Haney.
That's a fight.
That's a fight.
Like, and we haven't brought up Tank yet because he's like, we never know what Tank's going to do. Like, you never know what he's going to do next. He's at one. He's a smaller 135 guy. Like, Teofimo's not big for 140. Mm. That's like my, like, a dream. Teofimo Tank.
I like Haney because I like their dads. Their dads can fight, you know. Like, that could be the undercard.
We brought you to the weigh-in. We were doing some content, and Teofimo and Haney's dad were going at it.
Yeah.
Dads of boxing.
I don't think Bill should fight.
Keep the dads out of the rings.
Yes.
Awesome night. We made some new fans at John Boy. Justin Penick was there. Joe's was there. Our guy Mike, who's behind the scenes.
Oh, John Boy Media is going to turn into a boxing.
Yeah, I'll read you Justin Penick.
We're getting rid of the Yankees.
We'll end with this. This is a text. This is a text from Justin Penick, who has never been to a fight before, but he did a book report on Muhammad Ali in fifth grade. Oh. Today was absolutely incredible. So happy for you. The event was awesome. Those fights were insane and so fun to witness live. Would love to do it again. We made a new fan tonight. We make one fan every day.
We're going to do it again.
Panic's a good guy.
Bigger and better next time.
Bigger and better. Teofimo Lopez is back. The 140-pound division is intriguing. Boxing remains on a heater. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Smoke a cigar and wear sunglasses indoors. We're out.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it three times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.